Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Michelle C. from San Diego.
Hi, I'm Michelle. I'm an alcoholic. I was born in Connecticut. I moved to Indianapolis, when I was 9. I'm the oldest of 7 kids from a Catholic family. Catholic schools, the whole bit. The first time I ever got drunk, I was a senior in high school, and I had just turned 17. And one of my friends and I used to go to these dances, and we snuck in like bottles of blackberry brandy and hid it in the toilet, and we drank it with 7-Up, and I just loved it. It was a blast. And the next day I had a terrible hangover and went to church and felt terrible. And the next weekend I went back to the dance and put the bottle in the back of the toilet again. And within a couple months, I had dropped that bottle all over the floor in the bathroom, broken it. Next thing I know, here comes my mom and dad. Security had called them to come get me. So I was grounded for a couple of weeks. I met a little guy there who was 16, and I was 17, and within a few months, I was pregnant. So I graduated from high school pregnant, but didn't know it at the time. And being one of 7 children of a Catholic family, my folks made arrangements for me to go to a home for unwed mothers, which at the time was horrible. But now looking back years later, I can see why they were so concerned. I can see that they were probably scared to death for me. At that time, 1968, I was the oldest. I was setting an example. The younger children couldn't know, blah, blah, blah. So my drinking career ended for a little while. Then I had the baby, gave up the baby. When I was about 19, I started dating a guy, and I used to borrow his sister's ID and go to clubs and dance and get drunk. And then after that, I decided to be a hippie, so I stopped drinking and changed to other things. I worked during the day, and I took my broth at night and went to the clubs and picked up different guys and was kind of crazy. This was all back in Indiana. And then some of my friends had moved here. And I went home on a Friday evening and told my mom and dad I was going to move to San Diego. And Tuesday I came to San Diego with a girlfriend. We drove a little bug, a driveway, you know, you drive it, deliver it. So we drove this little bug out here. And I had $35, a bathing suit, and 2 t-shirts and 2 pairs of jeans. And I lived here for 5 years. I waitress. I lived in Mission Beach. One of my friends, again, since I hadn't drank for a while, she was going to teach me to drink. So we'd go out to the little neighborhood bars, and in order to teach me to drink, like I like sweets, can you tell? And so we would order pitchers of grasshoppers, and I would drink all the grasshoppers until I graduated to wine. And then I drank white wine, and I lived in Mission Beach for about 5 years, and I hit a lot of all the little bars, and I'd get drunk, and I'd pick up crazy guys, and, you know, that was my way of building my self-esteem, which was really a way of shaming myself, but I didn't know that then. So then one year I came home to Indiana, and I had known my husband before, but we were just kind of buddies. And we got together, and we partied pretty hardy. Here was somebody who partied heavier than I did, who drank more, who could introduce me to downers and other stuff. And so we had a wild courtship on drugs and alcohol, and since it was in the winter and it was like 20 below zero, we drank wild turkey and stuff like that. And we eloped 12 days after I moved back there, and everyone said, what the hell has she done now? And we lived there for 4 years, and I missed it here so much. I missed it here so much. So we came back out here, and I drank in spurts. Like, I was a very responsible drinker. I didn't drink if I had to go to work. But a lot of times I did it, but I would come home at 4, drink, and limit myself for a while, a few years, to we would split a half pint of Crown Royal and have some pot and drink. I had 2 beers. And then I'd go to bed at 7 o'clock so I could get up at 6 and go to work. And so I was like 2 days off, 3 days on, 1 day off, 5 days off, 3 days on, depending on my work schedule. And I have to tell you that I'm definitely an alcoholic. I had 100 bags, Crown Royal bags at one point, and I was going to make a quilt, but I didn't. I was too tweaked out at the time, and that was too much trouble. And that tweaking is what really brought me to my knees. And my bottom lasted about a year, and what happened was it stopped working. There are a lot of have yets. But for me, God gave me a gentle bottom. It stopped working. I couldn't get high anymore. I couldn't get drunk anymore. It wasn't fun. I wasn't the life of the party. You know, I drank because it gave me confidence. You know, drugs gave me confidence, and I felt good about myself. But all I did was cry. And we'd sit at our table, and we'd have a bottle of Crown Royal, and we'd have our beer and our cigarettes and our pot, and we'd just go around, you know. And I would drink for about probably 2 hours. Drink, 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 smashed, ready to pass out. No fun in there, no, just from the being sober, starting to drink, till the pass out part. And I didn't think I had blackouts, but I did because I couldn't remember what I watched on TV. And this went on for a year. And I started doing the things like you just read about. I started changing my drinks. I got oranges and squeezed fresh oranges and vodka. Still didn't get it. And I went to a therapist, and within a couple months, I was in API. I came home one day. When I do things, I do them fast. I came home on a Monday, told my husband I'm going into therapy. He crawled up in a ball and cried, and Wednesday I was in therapy. And he's like, holy shit, what am I going to do now? She just fucked everything up for me. And, you know, but by the time I had made that decision, I was serious because it took me a while to make that decision. And going to API, you know, thank God we had insurance and that was covered, and I got a leave of absence from work. It was the best thing that could have happened to me. It was a privilege. It really was. They do more outpatient stuff now, but this was inpatient. And it gave me quite an education on my disease. The term dysfunctional families was just kind of coming out then, and I found out I had one. Next month, I'll be 19. God willing, which I think, you know, if I keep doing the things I am doing, I will. I'm a turtle. I'm slow. I'm a slow learner. I average 2 meetings a week. I've always had a sponsor. Having a sponsor is great. For me, it's the buddy system. I do better with the softer, kinder, gentler way for myself. I pray. In all these years, I've read the book once from front to back. I've worked the steps a couple times. I wouldn't trade sobriety for anything. And there's newcomers here, and I want you to know that there's life after Alcoholics Anonymous or in Alcoholics Anonymous. I do many more things than I used to just sit at my table and do nothing and talk about all the things I thought I was going to do, but I never did. In my younger days, I could never, ever, ever get up in front of this amount of people and speak. I'm still not very social. It's almost more comfortable for me to be up here looking at you talking than going to a party with all of you and having to interact. But that's okay. I've accepted that part of me. The obsession will be removed. I swear to you, I guarantee it 100%. I promise you it will be removed. I don't know when. It's different for all of us. But it happens. I still have using dreams. I still have drunk dreams. And they seem really real at the time, but they're only dreams. And I never feel guilty about them. I was taught that's part of the disease. That's a way to relieve yourself of it without actually having to do it. So that doesn't really bother me. I have many blessings, many blessings. My husband and I, you know, we split up for a little while after I got sober, and within a month or so, he was in treatment. So we're both in treatment together. We couldn't stay together. I couldn't stay with a using person, a drinking person, because I knew I wouldn't make it. And, you know, we have a wonderful life. We've been married 31 years. Went from way back when they said, what the hell has she done now? You know, there's like a couple other divorces in the family, and, you know, and we've hung in there together. There's been deaths in my family. You know, life is life. We learn the tools here, and we have support, and we have each other, and we have our higher power. And, you know, it's a good life. It is. I shudder to think where I'd be. And I think God works through people, and sometimes he works through me, and, you know, he works through other people to help me. That's a good note to end it on, isn't it?